the worst thing that has ever happened. There are 21-year-olds walking around being monitored by their parents. It's so fucked up.
I do think that it's a huge problem.
I'm very scared. There are literally 23-year-olds in Manhattan right now walking around, and their fucking 50-year-old parents know where they are.
Well, I think a bigger thing is reminding parents that they don't need to know where they're, even their 14-year-old doesn't need to be on Life 360. What kind of a world is it to live in if your parents are telling you, if the message is, I don't feel like you're safe, how the hell would you feel safe? So I think that that is a huge problem, but I understand it.
Attention is the number one asset. Vayner Nation, how are you? We have another episode of Podcast with Friends. This is a fun one, a bunch of ladies in the house with me, so I'm super excited about that. I will let them introduce themselves and we will get into lots of subjects. Parenting is on my mind. I have a kid's book coming out. There's a lot of incredible firepower at this table, and so I'm excited to let them introduce themselves. So please introduce yourselves, maybe a minute on who you are and what you do, and then we'll really get into it. So right here.
Okay, hello. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
I'm Dr. Lisa Pressman. I'm a developmental psychologist, co-founding director of the Mount Sinai Parenting Center. I have a book called The Five Principles of Parenting, a podcast called Raising Good Humans. I like talking about how we come to be who we are.
The book is on fire.
Thank you.
It's really cool to see. When did the book come out?
January 23rd.
Has it gone well for you?
It's gone really well.
It seems like really it's got real juice.
I think so. It's been really fun.
Do we have a copy here? I thought I saw a copy
we
here.
We gave copies.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Let me give a little visual for the people that are hanging out on Twitch. All right. Well, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Dube. I'm the parents editor at the Today Show website, today.com. That is something I have done for 13 years.
Wow,
I also
good for
have.
You.
Thank you.
That's incredible.
I have a 14-year-old and 11-year-old sons. So I've kind of grown up as a parent. They've grown up while I've been in this job. I've learned so much. And I always say that my personal interests are basically parenting, editing, and writing. So if there was like a Venn diagram of my interests and my job, it would basically be a circle. So that's why I've been happy there for so long.
Good for you.
Yay.
That's amazing.
I'm Layla Steinberg. I am president of Gala Music, and my identity is so tied to parenting. I've been in the music business for 40 years, and I approach work as a parent. I have four children. The oldest is 40, youngest is 25, and then I have grandkids from 19 to the youngest that'll be one soon. So I'm excited about this topic.
It is an exciting topic. So Vayner Nation, as you're listening, and definitely everybody watching live on Twitch, if you want to watch Podcast with Friends live, make sure you subscribe to Twitch, twitch.tv/GaryVee or GaryVee.com/Twitch. As you can see, the theme here is going to lean into a parenting direction, but I want to make sure my three wonderful guests also know that we can talk about anything.
Great.
That's the concept of Podcast with Friends. But let's start with, actually, since I did curate this to be a little bit about parenting, because I actually have been writing a book in my head, meaning like, the way I tend to write is I think about it forever and then I go and attack it. That's called Perfectly Parented. And it comes from the perspective of how I feel about what my mom did. And then I grew up in a very immigrant, I was born in the Soviet Union and lived in a very immigrant household where my dad worked every minute. But even though he slept in the same home as me every night, I didn't really get to see him until I was 14. So, but I got this really incredible track of like, incredible mothering, and then spent a lot of time with my dad because I worked in his liquor store all the time from 14 to 34. So it's been a subject that I've like, which is unusual for like a 15-year-old boy to be like fascinated by parenting, especially growing up in the 80s. But it's really how I've always been, and it's a big part of how I see the world. To go around the horn from different perspectives and different angles. Would love to get your sense on either the biggest elephant in the room or something that you are observing that's changing. Either the biggest elephant in the room or a changing trend that you think is going on with modern parenting in the last 5 to 7 years.
So I see something fascinating, and I for sure want to hear from you, that it's not so much that we've stopped or started a trend in being connected and having close relationships with our kids, as much as I think because of probably social media and the inundation of content, that there has been a message that that close connection that's super important might not necessarily need the boundaries and guardrails as much. So I feel like parents are getting both inundated and maybe misinterpreting or confused that like you can be close and sensitive and connected and also actually like set boundaries, have rules and expectations. So that to me, just as a pain point for parents, I hear about all the time. And I'm curious what everybody else is noticing.
Mm-hmm. Let's stay on that subject and then we'll be able to establish, when you hear that, what comes to mind on first reaction?
Yeah. I mean, I think the struggle to create boundaries and the struggle to be the mom and dad, not the friend. Yeah. I always tell my kids, I am not your friend. If you don't think I'm a nice person, I don't care. I have friends. I'm your parent. The ability to say that is hard, but so important. Yeah.
I would also say that as parents, social media has had such a profound impact on our ability to control the narrative. So media is doing the parenting. I'm a child of the 60s, and my dad raised me. My mom was so active in movement that she wasn't a present parent. Mm. And I think the 60s were a very toxic time to be parented. And so we have lost the ability to understand how important the village is, that it's a community responsibility, that we teach core values and morality and all the things in this nucleus that we no longer have. And so, because I'm also an educator and I parent other people's children and I've had foster kids, I see the damage that's happened with every kid having a phone in elementary school. And it's impossible to control the information they're getting. And then, you know, I'm in the music business, the effects of music on our kids. And I've been part of toxic music. And I see now, 20 years later, 30 years later, the effect of our artists. And we're the only country in the world that puts artists and athletes on a pedestal. And so that's another element where we're in crisis because of it.
Yeah, I think that's an awfully pessimistic point of view on it. And I'll explain a couple things to break down. I'll go backward. I'll go in reverse order. My perspective is, we're definitely not the only country that puts athletes and artists on a pedestal. As a matter of fact, countries use artists and athletes to whitewash, and I would call dictatorships in some of the most challenging countries in the world really put them on a pedestal as weapons to control their society or paint narratives about themselves. So that's one. Two, your point is taken, controlling the narrative's really interesting. I grew up petrified as a child of a nuclear war.
Same, because we're from the same.
That's right.
I remember.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we talk a lot about like information today, and I'm with you. There's so much, but every one of us also grew up with information. And with limited information, it actually gave us no room to see other or seek out other things. So for me as an 80s baby, who was also born in the USSR and growing up in the US, I was probably double hyper paying attention to the Cold War. And I basically, every day of my life, thought a nuclear bomb was gonna drop and we're all gonna die, right? And so information has always been around. When people talk about what the cell phone and social media is doing, I'm like, humans are humans and there's different mediums for different messages. I'm such a buyer of your point about the village. A thing that I'm fascinated about parenting is now that we've all become so insular and we don't have community, right? Even in the suburbs, it's more limited than it was. City, forget about, you live in your apartment. Even the suburbs are less communal parenting. When I was growing up, it was appropriate for one of my three best friends' moms to not only reprimand me, but to physically spank or Same. Slap me. Fully acceptable. And I was like, I'm sorry, Mrs. Turnick.
Same.
Full. Okay. And so, you know, grandparents being around more, like to your point, we're not 7 or 12 people parenting a kid anymore. We're one or two for sure. There's just so much going on. The point that you both touched on, I'm obsessed with. I believe the biggest issue is not an algorithm on social media. I think this is primarily a self-esteem versus insecurity game life. And I am fascinated by the fact that there are no longer ramifications for actions.
Well, I think
no more, forget about spanking, no more grounding.
Yeah, no, I definitely
I cannot believe. I'm sure. I'm talking in generalizations, obviously.
Okay.
It is stunning. I mean, there's people that spank too, which I think is an interesting thing.
Actually, 30% of the United States are still spanking, though I'm not a proponent. I just want to normalize that it's not.
Yeah, like,
so rare.
You know, like, first of all, and I think we all know this, there's no formula that is universal because every human reacts to different formulas. There's people that positively, I'm so with you on like spanking, but like there's no question that people respond to different things, and that's a fascinating thing. So it's always tough to have these convos because they're in generalizations. But I will say that entitlement is at an all-time high. And I think that I really think has a direct correlation to our inability to be parent versus friend. And you have an enormous amount of time now that we've had where a lot of people just don't deal with consequences, including social norms amongst kids. Another phenomenon is that kids used to fight a lot more each other. And so like, you know, if you talk shit when I was growing up in New Jersey, like you got punched in the face. Mm-hmm. And so there's just like a lot of social norms that have changed, and it's fascinating to watch. You were saying?
No, I mean, I think that yes, there are a lot of issues, huge issues with social media, huge issues with so many of the things that happen now that didn't happen before. Technology is making it a little bit harder. And also, to your point, like humans are humans. And the thing that parents, I think a disservice to parents is that when we blame other things,
Correct.
We lose our power.
Correct.
And I want us to feel like in the absence of changing policy, which needs to happen, in the absence of so many of the protections that we wish could exist, I want parents to remember the biggest protection you have for your kids is a close relationship with very clear boundaries and expectations.
And
if you don't have the rules in the relationship, you don't feel safe as a parent or a kid. And that, I think, is part of why
I was on a panel on Sunday at this bougie offsite, and a gentleman said, it's impossible to find the parental controls on a social media platform. And I just jumped in like I tend to do if I'm on a panel and I'm get spicy about something somebody said. And I said, then fucking Google it.
Or take the phone away.
Right.
Like, yeah, I mean, my number one
by
thing.
By the way.
My number one go-to is like, you don't like TikTok? Delete it.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course they're like, but you don't get the social pressure by my 13-year-old. I'm like, they're like, it's hard. I'm like, everything important and good is hard.
No, it is hard. I feel
you know what
everybody.
Else is hard? Working out. I hate it. But it's important and it's good. And I'm a very big buyer of what you were just saying, please.
I think parents today do not realize the power that they have.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what else is going on in the media and social media, you as a parent are still the biggest influence on your child. And people don't realize that.
I agree.
It's easy. It's easy, especially when you have teens and it seems like they're not paying attention to anything. They're paying.
They really are.
They're paying attention to what you do. And that is still the number one influence on them. And we need to realize our power.
Not what you do, what you say.
That's right.
Exactly.
I think that's right. I literally, because I grew up in internet culture and who I was, I would literally sit with parents 8, 9 years ago where they would yell at me as if I invented the iPad, right? And they would yell at me, literally, the hypocrisy of many modern parents is fascinating. I would literally get yelled at in a setting with 4 or 5 other couples, and then they're like, about technology is bad, and then her 5-year-old would come over, and because we were having wine and having a good time, they would literally give the iPad to the kid 14 minutes after telling. Right. Like, I'm like, do you even listen to yourself? We've become incredibly good at pointing fingers, and we've lost our thumbs.
I mean, I do, I think that's true, and also I so have compassion for parents because I'm a parent. And
it's so hard.
It's so hard. We're so vulnerable, and we do feel like there are just so many obstacles to getting.
But we have ourselves. But listen, there were parents parenting during the Great Depression.
No, of course. I mean,
there was like you know what I mean. To your point, the '60s was incredibly contentious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Actually, here's a question that I actually would love to hear all three of your points if you want. given that you two are especially deep in it professionally, how do you think we got here in the last 30 years? Because a lot of, like, how do we get here?
I mean, one
why thing, do parents not think they have so much control?
Part of it is just being afraid to, I think there are a lot of voices, right? There are a lot of voices, for better or for worse. I mean, all of us are part of those voices.
Correct.
So it's a very fine balance, because there'd be chaos without any support, but too much of the noise is like, it makes everybody either super, super rigid or afraid that someone else has the right answer. And I think with the inundation of the information, plus wanting to like do better because we feel like maybe we're messed up. I don't know about how cursing is. So like,
I've been cursing if you've been listening.
Okay, I can't. I feel like it's different if you do.
It's definitely not different.
But so if we feel like we're fucked up, then we want to do better for our kids, which makes sense. It's that we reflect on that. And so I just think like we overcorrected in a way that now we're afraid of hard feelings and like our kids experiencing a tough time. And so it's just very fragile making. And I worry about that the most. Like, I just think, what will happen if you think that you're not supposed to have a hard feeling your whole childhood? How do you end up in adulthood not thinking it's a disaster? So I think that's how we got here. We got here trying to make right, and the pendulum just swung too far.
I believe it completely. Mm-hmm. I think the well-intended nature of eighth place trophies made people scared of losing.
Exactly.
And life is losing.
And you can't, like, it's hard to watch someone you love desperately, you know, like, want to fix that loss. So you're like, let's give a trophy.
Literally, my kid's book is called Meet Me in the Middle, because my entire thesis is purple. When you walked in, like, this entire conversation for me is purple. I think about most things in life through the lens of the political colors in our country. We've gotten way too red, we've gotten way too blue, and all the magic is purple.
I cannot agree with you more. And I said that. My book is all middle place. Like, what in the world? But it's not as exciting to sell. Like, it's not, you're not loud enough when you say that, because nothing is on fire.
Right now. See, the thing that people understand is positivity is actually winning way more than people think. It's just that negativity is much louder.
It's louder.
And people will speak to rubbernecking, but they won't speak to success in other places. Like, there's a lot of TV shows that you'll look at very carefully that are doing extremely well because there is underlining positivity. There's a lot more of that going on than they think. The problem is media, mainstream media. Because don't forget, social media is just humans. Humans fill the pipes. Mainstream media creates a curriculum. Like, there's so much that I think about from, and both are just reflections of society. But you think about, like, when we made the news about business, and I'm a businessman, I love capitalism, but again, back to purple, anything out of whack is bad. Capitalism isn't bad, capitalism out of whack is bad, right? Socialism has tendencies, there's many wonderful programs. Socialism that looks like the USSR, bad. You know, and so I think people have really struggled because everyone just doesn't understand the middle is magic.
Magic. That's it, we're done.
It's true though.
No,
it can be done with just that.
Balance, I mean, that's a principle. And I think that we're also looking at, it's a privilege to parent. And I always felt like if I could do and be better than what I got, I was winning. But there are so many children born unwanted, and that's why, like, I'm blessed I was wanted. And so if we looked at the village and felt okay to parent someone else's child or jump in, and that's how I grew up for sure. I had friends, parents that disciplined me, that had no problem inserting themselves in. And when I was talking about social media earlier, I didn't mean that it was negative. I meant that we have to insert ourselves and we have to feel okay. Mm-hmm. People are afraid of their own children now.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be afraid to step in and assert yourself across the board, and they need it. Children love boundaries.
Humans like them.
It's no different for humans, exactly.
We like them at 60, adults, grown-ups.
A lot of people say, you know, if I'm talking to somebody, they might say, well, my kid won't let me. And I'm like, that's what we have to reflect on.
That's insane. Literally, that's actually insane.
In terms of what happened, there's this pendulum. You use the word pendulum, and it swings back and forth. And when you get some distance, you can see that.
Correct.
That, you know, years ago, we had this like self-esteem obsession. Mm-hmm. And again, the participation trophies and the fear of losing, the fear of letting a child lose when that's exactly what they need to learn.
That's because people didn't understand self-esteem.
Right. And now
fake I feel self-esteem killed us.
Fake, yeah. That's and it's so damaging to
self-esteem
kids.
Only comes from actually losing. Mm-hmm. We really reversed it. You're absolutely right.
And figuring out how to get up again and try again.
Resilience.
We just missed the boat on resilience. But by the way, the research didn't. It was just like how, for some reason,
well, it became a new social norms, right?
And then mm-hmm. you feel like I'm the bad parent.
We're also more in our kids' shit than ever.
Yes.
You know, like the other reason a lot of this has happened is parents of our parents put us all in the same boat. They just weren't in collectively, not your parents. I don't know your parents. Like, all I know is that in 1982, when I was 7 years old, I went outside from 9 a.m. to noon, walked back in, ate lunch, left at 12:07 because I ate fast, and came home at 5:30, and my mother had no clue where the fuck I was. Mm-hmm. She knew I was in the general area. But I was seven.
Of course, if she was worried about you, though, presumably she would set a boundary.
Of course. Yeah. But now you have 23-year-old kids walking around Earth who are being monitored by their parents.
I know.
Can we please talk about this? Yes. What is this, Life 360?
Yes.
What is, this is the worst thing that has ever happened.
There are
21-year-olds walking around being monitored by their parents. It's so fucked up. This is the worst thing that has ever happened.
Yeah, no, I do think that it's a huge problem, and I think it's very
fucked up. No, I agree. And it's exploding.
You're just a little more passionate.
I'm very scared. When you teach your child that they are incapable.
They are incapable.
They're not incapable.
No, I'm saying you nail it in. Well, you're
but ready
them.
For this? This even if they were raised the most incapable, once you actually create merit, they start to learn to become capable.
Yes, their competence grows confidence. Mm-hmm. You're not going to just be told you're awesome and then do it.
Can you please talk about this fucking 360 thing? It's scaring the shit out of me.
There are
literally 23-year-olds in Manhattan right now walking around, and their fucking 50-year-old parents know where they are.
Well, I think a bigger thing is reminding parents that they don't need to know where they're, even their 14-year-old doesn't need to be on Life 360. By the way, some 14-year-olds want to be, and they're like, can you, you know, like, here, it's easier for me if you know where I am. But I'll tell you, like, my daughter has a school trip coming up, and they don't want the kids to have phones. And I'm so thrilled.
Pumped.
Right? Like, great. They're going away for a week. At least half the parents want to give, you know, like, they kind of want to cheat the system and give the phone, like, a kid the fake phone to give to the school so they can keep their phones. Because they're like, I need to know exactly where they are. So what kind of a world is it to live in if your parents are telling you, if the message is, I don't feel like you're safe, how the hell would you feel safe? So I think that that is a huge problem, but I understand it. Like, I think
I understand everything.
Right? Like,
no, honestly, real talk, as like luck of the draw of DNA, everything's understandable to me. That doesn't mean it's right.
No, we have
this concept of like, this is how I feel, it's thus right.
Well, you're not empowering and you're not trusting.
Yeah.
So you set up this cycle
that is
so damaging.
Right. But I think if that is an easy one to let go of, which is just, I'm not surveilling you all the time. And by the way, if I can't reach you, let's figure out what you can do to figure out how to, you know,
problem solve
or how to problem solve.
This also goes into like, there's 27-year-olds who are on the payroll for no reason. I'm not talking about helping your kid in dire situations. I'm talking about like, kids are on the fucking payroll.
Yeah,
and like,
I mean.
Like, and then here's where parents drive me crazy. Because I get a lot of parents that are successful asking me to help their kids get a job here. And I'm always flattered and I'm pumped about it. But like, when they talk out of both sides of their mouth, it drives me crazy. They're like, yo, my kid, like, fuck, man, like, just can't get his shit together. I'm like, what, tell me, they're like 31. I'm like, okay, I'm like, let's keep going. I'm like, and then, like, I go right to it because I know what the 5 to 15 cliche things are. I understand them all. You know, of course I don't, but there's many things I've seen observing, reading comments for the last 15 years at scale in my DMs. I'm like, well, what's going on? And very quickly, I want to go to like, what is the financial relationship between you and a 31-year-old man that is your son? Mm. And when you really go there and they're paying for things, the extremes of wealthy parents, like literally buying homes for their children and shit. Like no shit, they're not capable. Like, you're paying for their life. No, and then kids on the other side talking shit and being mad at their parents, you know, at 27, like getting in my business, I'm like, get off the payroll.
Right.
You want your parents, hey, 22-year-olds that are listening right now and older, you want your parents to carry less weight about your life? Get off the fucking payroll.
Well, by the way, the Life 360 on the phone that might be paid for by the parent is part of the issue.
And the Uber and the fucking Equinox membership. And like, the whole thing is like, we are fucking we're the Roman Empire, and we're like, we're an empire. We've had too much prosperity for too long, and people are fucking, man, it's really challenging. Like, right, I'm really sad. Please.
Well, what can you do? What can you do? You can teach your kid. Like, what worries me is, I'm not at Life 360 yet, my kids are younger, but like, these kids, you know, 20-year-olds walking around who don't know how to do their laundry. The proudest moments of one of the proudest moments of me as a parent is teaching my 14-year-old how to fry an egg. He's never going to go hungry. He's never going to depend on someone to cook for him. He's going to know how to cook. He's going to know how to do his laundry. That's where it starts. Like, the little things, you know, teach a 5-year-old to be capable, teach a 12-year-old to be capable. There are ways you can do this so you don't end up with the, hopefully,
jobs. Like, the amount of kids that don't have jobs anymore, 14, 15, 16, 17. Like, it's just like, there's so many things that have layered on.
I mean, I think it's, you need autonomy, and you need a parent to be autonomy supportive. And so if kids can do something, let them do it for themselves. I mean, that's the beginning of it. It's teaching the skills. I think the pandemic actually should have helped a little, because people were too tired to do as much around the house. And so you needed to enlist your kids to deal and clean up after themselves a little bit. And like, I think we were on, in some ways, a path.
But I think if I may.
Please.
I think we look at little proxies and then like look the other way on big proxies. It's funny that we brought up the egg and the laundry. I hear that so much from the parents who have the Life 360 and pay for their life.
No, right? You're right.
So they're like, there's like little things and big things. And so we like, yay, they can do their laundry, but I'm literally paying for their lives. Like, I believe what we've done for 30 years, I'd love to get all three of your perspectives. My belief is we've done one big game of showing them that we don't think they can.
Well, I think Life 360 is showing that we don't think you can.
That's correct. And I think Eighth Place Trophies was showing them that we don't think they can. And I believe paying for everything has showed them that, I think this has been one big game of parents, all well-intended.
Of course it's well-intended.
Always well-intended. Of course, I mean, of course there's people who have mental health issues and alcoholism, we're talking in net. I agree with you. It's in their soul. Yeah. It's why kids that come up from very bad situations with parents still seek them out later. It's the most amazing, literally, look at us, look at the goosebumps. Like, it is the relationship. It's the only thing that matters. I believe in it the most, but we have had 30 years of incredible well-intended. I fully agree with you. There was some stat I saw 7 or 8 years ago of more parenting books made in like a 10-year window at the time. It was going back, right? I know. I'm writing one too, don't worry. Literally though, more parenting books written from like 1990 to 2000 than were in the history of time prior. Like, right. You know, wow. So like, yes, I believe that. I fully am a buyer of that as well. But I believe the punchline in its pure simplicity is that enormous amounts of very good behavior, all pointing to the same core thing that kids are always watching, they've all been told, we do not think you're capable.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go fight with your teacher to get you a
for
B
you.
Instead.
Exactly.
When I started seeing that 20 years ago, I'm like, what is this?
It is so much more harmful than people realize. And I don't like using the word harmful, because I do think like parents have enough on their shoulders. But every time you are afraid of the really, really important stressor of like not making the team or not getting the grade that you wanted or being nervous to talk to your teacher about the B to get your grade up, go talk yourself. If you
want to
get in
there. Were allowed. By the way, I didn't even know you could do that.
If you could even do
in
that.
In the 80s and 90s, I'm like, what are you?
My teacher's
like, fuck you.
Yeah, I'm sure they would say that. But even but let them say it to you. Let them have to have that conversation. Those are the things that we do, I think, to pave, to sort of clear the path. And without the bumps in the road, you don't know how to
and
drive.
And it's so hard. It's so easy to sit here and I think about, like, it's just, you love them so much.
You don't want them to hurt.
It's the most primary relationship there is. Family is everything. And
it makes sense. Like, this is no judgment. This is purely macro observations, but it is a very substantial issue. The entitlement and the fear.
Now, having said that, it's a really easy solve. So I don't think it's depressing.
Me neither.
I think that's the upside to it is just going back to the relationships and the rules and not really being afraid of our kids and not being afraid of feelings. The end.
So this is the fundamental question or paradox of parenting to me is that I want my children to grow. I want them to grow into wise adults. I know that growth and wisdom come from pain and challenges and problems.
I love it.
So I want my children to grow, but at the same time, to watch my children suffer and struggle and be in pain, that is the worst. Well, that is torture.
You know what's so amazing about what you're saying? It goes back to us being in their shit more. The amount of kids in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, even into the 90s, that went through like breakups and like cried about it without their parents even knowing about it was enormous. The amount of kids that go through that same situation today is far less often.
It's totally different.
Although, like, if you can have the closeness and sit through their sobbing and breakup, and if they want to go to you, I mean, some do, some don't. I actually do think that can buffer toxic stress.
I think it's amazing.
It's just with
But it's layering. It's also layering on to her point, which is incredibly powerful, which is when we are faced with the tears of our 15-year-old child. It's impossible to hold that line that is imperative.
Which is about us, which is about fixing our stuff.
Which is why I'm saying, like, maybe you don't need to be in every fucking situation because you're gonna fuck it up most of the times. Because when those, like you have to be like fucking, it takes an enormous amount of discipline
to watch
your 14-year-old cry hysterically about Johnny who broke up with her and not fucking fold in some part of that. I think you're weirdly, and I'm fascinated by this. By the way, this is a hypothesis. I'm not even sure I'm right. But the hypothesis is, in that scenario in 1979, half the time the parents weren't there and that kid learned how to self-soothe.
I think that's really important. You made a point about how many kids, when we were younger, didn't share with their parents and they suffered in their own way. I don't think we need to be in our kids' business all the time.
I agree.
Think they need to go through their suffering and their pain and their trauma, and we need to get out of the way.
It's back to middle.
You're not gonna ditch, but it's just like, also, you even if they come to us, even if they are talking about the breakup, we can sort of listen, but not say, you know what you should do? That's also.
Can we go back to the village for a second, if I may? As you were just talking, something popped in my head I hadn't thought about in a while. About, I don't know what's in it. Maybe 6 years ago, I was at a baseball game, and my kid's team lost, and one of the kids on his team is crying his face off. And I was very friendly with the parents, so I felt comfortable doing what I'm about to tell you I did. I could see the parents going with the classic, it doesn't matter, it's just a game. And I got in front of them, literally ran, and like went up to the kid and was like, I love that you were crying. It is epic that you care. You're a gangster and a winner. You're my favorite player on the team. And that was pulled off because I had a micro relationship with the parents and I was sweet and whatever. And it made me think about, like, are there new versions of us villaging again? Like, I wonder if, like, we can help each other. Because there's certain things you can do, right? I like how you're responding, Ray. I'm wondering if, like, this becomes an interesting movement. Because, right from the beginning, you brought it up. I can't get over the village thing. I think about it all the time. We're just not in that place anymore. There's pockets, but the concept of, like, will there be some new social norms that we can create to help each other, you know, contributing to each other, back to that team thing, because I really, really think telling kids games don't matter really hurt us, because I think it created indifference, which I think is a really dangerous mindset.
It matters to them.
Correct.
A lot.
I was gonna say, although I'm not my career hasn't been around parenting. I wrote a curriculum in the 90s around emotional literacy before social emotional learning was even a topic.
Yep.
And I think it's so crucial that at a young age we learn to define the difference between feeling and action and help give our children language so that we have a method and a way, and children build their own community. We do have community. We just oftentimes don't identify it. And I think that that's emotional right. literacy is a crucial component in our healthy children and parenting as a village and helping people learn to put language to feelings and navigate their feelings. And that's something I didn't see, which is why I created it. I felt like there was no space in education, and you know, I had a family that was very challenged, and so I began to work. I have a nonprofit, and I spent a lot of years helping young people find tools for language, and I think that that's really crucial, and we're missing mm-hmm. that piece.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's something I was thinking about when you brought up, like, I think a lot about the media landscape. It's what I do for a living. Words matter, communication matters. The whole world has been always run on the stories and the messages people believe in. Another thing, you know, back to like how hard it is in the world we live in now, take social media out of the equation. What about role modeling? Could you imagine if we grew up in a time where politicians talk to each other the way they do now?
Yeah.
Genuinely believe that the majority of politicians, the way they are talking to each other now is worse than like the worst sixth graders I knew in a politically incorrect 1980s. Mm-hmm. The lack of civility by the politicians in our society, the collective behavior of politicians on both sides of the equation in today's world is so fucking disgusting.
It is. Mm-hmm. It was just the way you said it, but also they don't have to be around each other in the same way, so the civility's gone. Like, mm-hmm. they're more remote, and everybody is.
They're like
and
disgusting.
There's been permission to be. That's why nobody like, wants to do it.
It's so fucked up. Like, I watch this and I'm like, this is like bad behavior in the 80s.
Yes, and it's in front
by
of
teenage
kids.
Dudes that were fuck ups. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're like worse than them. Like, the senator from the great state of whatever is like literally worse. Then like Abel Franco, who was like the most inappropriate sixth grader I knew in 1987. How the fuck did we get here?
Abel Franco,
big shout out to you, bro. I know you're in Florida.
No,
he wasn't that bad.
I think that like it's there's just so much that we can do. That's why the thing about growing our kids is like they're going to grow. We could just get our acts together, but like not in the way that puts. I mean, first of all, politicians could just model. Like, they could just, like, work harder at modeling, but they won't. And it's just not, and nobody's in D.C. anymore, like, hanging out together, bumping into each other. You don't have to be civil. You can be disgusting to each other. It's just bringing out people's worst, and then young people see it. But we can make our own villages by just committing to it, by just
100%.
Finding people that we feel aligned with and respect or even don't feel aligned with, but, like, we are in community and say, like, hey, by the way, if my kid does something, please let me know and please tell them what you think. Like, do it.
Versus where we're at now, where like somebody comes and says like a slight little thing about your kid and people try to fucking sue.
And exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, there can't be that feeling. There can't be that thing of like, I'm afraid to talk to the other parents. It has to be, we have to go back to something.
Yeah. So the thing about community, and there's so much bad about social media, about media, but you know what? You can use it for good. You can find your community online. It doesn't have to be the person sitting next to you in the PTA meeting. If you find those community of real parents online, and that will give you the bravery to maybe turn to someone and say like, this is bullshit, or whatever you need bravery for as a parent, you can find a community online and that can really help. It's about finding the positive voices.
Massive. Yeah. You find what you're looking for in life. If you look at my Instagram feed right now, it's literally rainbows and sunshine and kittens. I'm being dead serious. People are like, the algorithms. I'm like, you're the algorithm. Their business is to keep you online. Your feed is you. And people want to point fingers at nausea. This is how life is. You either see life in a half glass full or a half glass empty way. You're the algorithm. People watched the State of the Union last night. I watched all the channels because I know that you're the algorithm, just like you're the TV station. You decided which channel you watched. The reactions were different depending on what, like, we just are in such an interesting time, and it reflects in the parenting, and it's just, it's an awfully interesting time. And I think these conversations really matter. I think about this podcast, because you have to run, right?
I do.
Yeah, so I'm gonna wrap it up in a little bit. I wanna give all three of you a platform for 2 minutes just to, because one great thing about the Vayner Nation, my little community, they love to support the guests that are on, so books or shows or apps. But before I get there, I think that really is like a really interesting part about life. It's always been that way. Humans find what they're looking for. To your point, I love you for saying that. There is so much positivity out there. There is so much. And so people act as if social media, people chose to read the New York Times and or the New York Post, depending on how they saw the world. Mm-hmm. People chose to watch CNN or Fox News. Like, this is just the extension. It's the next version of, and we're living in VR. We're not gonna blame this. We're gonna blame something else. And guess what? The blame is you. Platform for the last couple seconds. What do you want everybody to know? And or what did we not touch on that was something you were excited to touch on before you got here today?
Well, I actually just want to get back to what you said about purple, because I think if we can keep going to that middle, our whole world is just going to be in a better place. And that's where most of us are. I've never actually sat with anybody who isn't feeling that middle space. But yeah, my platform, like I'd love for people to get my book.
I'd love for them to get it too, because I will tell you, and I gave you flowers early on, I'm going to give you more flowers right now. The amount of people, I do talk a lot about parenting, so maybe this makes a little more sense now and thinking about it, but I have had many people mention the book in the last 100 days, and I'm proud of you, and that's really cool.
Thank you.
What is the name of the book, and where can people get it?
The obviously. 5 Principles of Parenting, Your Essential Guide to Raising Good Humans, and get it.
Yeah,
you know,
anywhere. They know how to do that.
Get it anywhere, but I appreciate that, just to be willing to have a conversation about like how we can get back to the middle.
Meet me in the middle.
Love it. Hey, we'll have to talk about that too.
Yes, we need to talk about that.
Lovely. Well, I'm glad we got to talk about optimism because that's my favorite thing to talk about. You know, I think I'm a cynical optimist because I've been a journalist all my life.
Do you know what I call
that's
it?
That's the best.
I call myself a practical optimist.
Yes.
And I really, by the way, cynical, I am actually, what you're looking at is V Friends. Oh, I need you guys all to get a pack. Please take a pack.
Thank you.
Is my Sesame Street meets Pokemon. Yes. And it's so funny. Do you know the bad guy? The bad guy in my world is the cynical cat. I think cynicism is actually different than practicality. Mm-hmm. I think back to words matter. Yeah. I think a lot of people are actually practical optimists. Mm-hmm. You know, I think cynicism or sometimes people use cynicism instead of thoughtful. Mm-hmm. You know, cynical is like an interesting word. I don't know.
But optimist, what's the best case scenario? We spend so much time thinking about the worst case scenario. I like to think about the best case scenario. What if the best case scenario happens? It could.
Not only could it, you want something cool about that?
Yeah.
The best case scenario is what continues to happen with us. We have collectively shown as a human race that it always gets better. There was an atomic bomb created 75 years ago, and it still hasn't been used again once we understood what it was. Do you know how insane that is? Mm-hmm. Like, we have plenty of issues about gender, race. Listen, go talk to somebody 100 years ago that was living on this earth. Tell them how we've done in the last 100 years. The reason we choose optimism is because it's practical. Mm-hmm. We've proven that that's where we go. We may take micro steps back, but we always take steps forward.
Mm-hmm. And isn't parenting the biggest act of optimism? I mean, we all chose to bring children into this messed up, broken world.
Wait, no, I'm optimistic about the world. This epic, awesome world that sometimes we focus on the broken parts.
That's right. But just to self-promote for a second, I would love people to follow Today Parents on Instagram.
Amazing.
Today.com is our website.
Is it and at Today's Parents with an S?
It's okay, Today Parents.
Today Parents.
At Today Parents on Instagram. And I'm Rebecca Dube, D-U-B-E on Threads.
We got it. Look what they did here.
Here
we go. Boom.
Thank
right
you.
On Twitch. Very nice. Go ahead. You're trying.
I have like 5 followers on Threads, but I'm trying to make that happen. So join me.
Love it.
So thank you for this. I really do appreciate it. Parenting is my identity, has always been tied to parenting. And please join us at GalaMusic.com.
Tell everybody what Gala Music is for
Gala
2 seconds.
Gala is a platform. I think it's incredible. It's what drew me. I've been in the music industry for 40 years, and I've always been committed to artists and artists finding their voices. And the next release actually is an artist who didn't have parents growing up, and I was hesitant to do a release with NBA Youngboy because his story is so tragic and he's been through so much. But how do I help parent artists and young people and people who come to the platform? But the amazing thing is that this is an incredible opportunity and an artist-friendly platform. It's revolutionary. It's forward-thinking. It's a space you understand more than I do.
The blockchain
but because I've been fighting.
The blockchain is an amazing technology. Obviously, there's a lot of confusion. Bitcoin, NFTs, this, that. It's just like the web. I mean, actually, looking around this table, we all kind of remember when the internet first hit. And when all the, you know, there was so much misunderstanding. It's just for universities, or when the stocks were overpriced, it was a fad. Like, the blockchain is a profound technology.
Music.gala.com. And what I'll also say is that that we are a village, and we need to do it together. And the more conversations we have, and that we can show up for one another. And the other thing is mentorship. Is underrated.
I agree.
Anytime that you want to be in something, go find someone to work for free until you create opportunity. And I'm accessible. So Layla@gala.com, you can hit me up. I always show up. I did Fit the other day. We have a partnership with Fit now, semester long. I spoke at Harvard yesterday.
Good for you.
Anywhere there's kids, I show up because I believe in our youth and it matters.
It's why I have such a profoundly
I'm getting
focused.
Your book
thank
for
you.
My grandkids.
Thank you.
I'm for my daughter for my grandkids. So
it's you know, your last line of showing up, it's the reason I have a public persona. I keep my private life incredibly.
You do.
I keep my private life, but I show up very publicly because kids live here, and I believe that negativity is much better at marketing than positivity right now, and I am willing to take on the scrutiny and all the baggage that comes along with being out there so much, because I think it's my responsibility as a happy person to push as much practical optimism into the world as possible. And I challenge everybody who's listening right now, I'm telling you, one of the bigger issues in the world right now is happy people tend to stay in very small circles. And I couldn't encourage you more that if you're in a good place to start posting practical, purple, optimistic information, because people need it.
You show up. We appreciate
you
so much.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.